and you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us.
You don't need to expect us.
We're already here.
We're already here.
Find some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow, Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
Hey, all right, let's show them what we got here.
Radio at freedomslips.com. Hold on to the edge of your seats because you are in for quite the ride. It's time for the Granada Forum Radio Show. Right now, live on air with your host, Granada Wendy.
And I guess we're on the air.
Oh, my God. Good evening,
finally.
Ladies and
gentlemen.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Granada Forum Radio Program. This is Revolution Radio. We are the number one commercial-free, listener-supported internet talk radio station in the world. We're located at freedomslips.com. That's freedomslips.com or revolution.radio. That's revolution.radio. You can also pick us up on iTunes as well. By the way, today is July 1st. We're not sure what happened to June. It just came and went, and we don't know why. But that's just what happened. So today is July 1st. By the way, we want to wish everybody a happy July 4th, which is Monday. And so we want everyone to have a safe and happy July 4th, and God bless on that one. All right. By the way, if you'd like to go to the homepage and leave equivalent to a cup of coffee, we appreciate to keep the paid programming on the air. Also, too, if you'd like to advertise on Revolution Radio, you can meet a lot of new friends, and it's fairly reasonable. We hope you like it. So check that out also on the homepage. Here you go. I'd like to introduce my co-host and partner in crime, Mr. Nick Pearson.
Hey, hey.
And we want to also bring in Mr. John Graff.
Hey,
there you go. Okay, hey. John. John, all right. we're gonna give you the first plug real quick. Tell me, what's it like by you the last couple of days?
I'm not seeing a lot of the sprayers up there. I'm seeing some, and the ones I do see seem to be Southwest, or they're painted like it, but. But it's now like it's a snow globe kind of situation. You know, you can see the stuff in the air all the time. If you look at the sun, it's complete blinding. It's like through a wall of particulates or the heavy metal stuff or whatever. But it's coming through so brightly, like a magnifying glass in the face. I mean, it's unbelievable. You can't drive in it. The heat on your face is just insane. So it's in the air all the time. I just think they're getting less noticeable about it. You know, they're not
right.
Doing the 100 million lines in the sky, but it is dispersed into our air. I can taste it. I mean, it's just definitely here all the time now.
But yeah,
it's just become part of our air. It just looks like this is it.
There was
There
was a couple of days they didn't spray us, which is hard to believe. But then,
no, I did. I saw it.
I think it was about Thursday morning, I woke up with the frog back in my throat, and I said, no, there's, and then I noticed some of the white, we didn't have this, a lot of streaks, but we had, they dumped it where it stayed in, like, one area, and moved, but not a lot, but you can tell it was chem, it wasn't clouds, because it just doesn't move. Like June.
Really?
It's been kind of crazy. John, give out your website so people go on it.
Yeah, I got a bunch of stuff on there now. John Graff YouTube, JohnGraff, and YouTube, and go see what I'm putting up there. I'm keeping track of what they're doing. I'm also keeping track of the 4th of July fireworks, which I despise. Once I realized that that's all aluminum and barium and strontium too, and we're blowing it up in our own faces, it just changes my whole perspective on this big lie. And what are we celebrating anyway? That our freedom, wear a muzzle, or you can't go to work, or get a jab, or you can't keep your job. Where's the big freedom? Why don't we have a silent 4th of July? Just think about how much that would freak them out.
Happen.
Listen,
that ain't going to happen.
They're way too stupid. I know. I'm telling you, but I just can't. It would freak them out so bad because they're testing our stupid patriotism. Oh, they like the boom still, so they're still doing. Yeah, I can't stand the 4th of July. I really despise it. The whole thing. Yeah, they can shove those fireworks right up their ass. All
oh
of them.
God.
I know a few of them would like to.
Yeah.
And not the little ones either.
No, the ones illegal ones.
Oh,
but yeah,
God, you guys are too much.
Enough. Take them away. We don't need those. All they are is just reminders of war to keep our stupid minds going. Yeah, war is pretty cool because they make money on it. Yeah, you can get that. Yeah, I know a lot of people don't feel that way, and I don't care. I just had enough. I don't want to see war. I just hate it all, and loud bangs and booms. We got them here every night. There's no fireworks, but something blowing out here.
I got to tell you something, John. Since about, I'd say May, where I live, they've been blowing stuff off since May. I mean, literally May 1st.
Yeah.
Like the May 1st. So I've had all May. I've had June. And I know. And then last night, I was up in the morning early, just sometimes because I have different things to do, and it's just kind of weird. And I was up in the middle of the night. It's not that big a deal for me for like an hour or two. And they were literally on the other side of the 405. They were they were just blowing stuff off. And this was like probably 4 o'clock, 4:30 in the morning. Boom. It was good size. It was, you know, it was loud stuff. Yeah, so I can't imagine. I got to be honest. Today's Friday night. That they're gonna let some stuff today and tomorrow, Sunday, and so it's all weekend for it's gonna be here, but in the San Fernando Valley. But it's crazy to say the least.
Well, just like last year, something's going off. Something along the coast is blowing that's louder than any firework you can imagine. I'm telling you, this stuff's coming from underground. I'm not sure what, but the boom is insane, and then there's nothing in the sky. You know?
Are you really hearing like an a sonic boom or something where you are? John?
I'm hearing, yes. Yes, every night, hundreds of them. What it sounds like is like just like last year, it sounds like railroad cars being blown up with dynamite. This is how loud this is.
No way.
Insane. Every night. And I've gone up on the hill. There's a hill here called Signal Hill. And you can see all of California, all of L.A., all of Long Beach from up there. and I listened to them, and they were going off, and people were up there with me. Boom, 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 boom. No, crap in the air. There's no sparks in the air or anything from the strap. They're just these loud booms.
Coming from the underground. Well, yeah.
It has to be.
Listen to me, John. There has been probably for many, many years, I mean, but people have heard it at various, I mean, where, depending on where people live, various noises that came for many, many years, John, from underground. And people said they just poo-pooed it. But just listen, John. You can go, supposedly, from California to New York in an underground train. I hear it about maybe 2 hours or something like that. You can get to the East Coast in two to three hours. This is no lie. So they have got tremendous amount of underground railroad or traveling, how you would say it, high expansion underground. And no, you're not. And I know in New Mexico for many, many years, under the Dulce base, that people heard massive stuff for many, many years. And no, you're not, they're obviously doing some stuff underground. And people don't realize they have these machines that can just, it's like a giant machine that's kind of round and like a drill bit. But the thing is so big, it's massive. And it's like as tall as a house, and it's wide, it just goes in and just literally does the job. And then they clear it so many feet, you know, from the debris. And that they have done this in America and I think around the world. There are books on the underground bases and different things, John, and it's not – you can even go online, actually, not on YouTube because it's so censored now, but on Rumble or BitChute and put underground bases or underground drilling, it probably will come up, and there will be a fairly amount of video or explanation or stuff on this subject matter. So it's no, it is real. So
no, and I believe you. I've seen all that stuff. I'm just trying to find out what these booms are. You know, I mean, they're just insane. I mean, I keep hearing some people go, oh, well, they're blowing up the bases down there. And really? Well, every year, I mean, this is happening every year now. Last year was insane. The same thing. Those booms were just like I'm sitting in my car and I'm shaking.
Right.
And the pets have been poor pets, man. This is another thing I hate. And nobody gives a crap about these poor pets that are under the bed, freaked out for 2 weeks after this stupid, childish BS.
Yeah, I know that some of the animals react different. Some animals like. We had a couple of dogs when I was growing up, and what we did was we put it in cheese or Oreo cookies, which you're not supposed to give the dogs, but we gave them a little, like, tranquilizer, so they would just kind of be in the hall a little lackadaisical for a couple of hours, and the next day they weren't so bad. Because the night of 4th of July, and I'm going to tell you something, John, that was what, like 20, 30 years ago, whatever, 30 years ago. And that's not the fireworks of yesterday. The fireworks of today is the stuff that they're blowing off. And literally across the country is stadium fireworks, whether it's Disneyland fireworks, it's Hollywood Bowl fireworks. It's what we call stadium fireworks. It's not the fireworks when I was a kid, the Red Devil Freedom fireworks.
Well, that's what they're selling, but somebody's bringing stuff in. It's in the ghetto areas here. I'm seeing Disneyland fireworks. I know they can't afford
them. Stadium. Yeah, it's stadium stuff. This is not little tiny stuff.
No, $1,000 pop-offs.
They
did it last year. I saw the scenes from helicopters. And my city looked like freaking Disneyland. Nobody has enough money to buy barely a sparkler. And these guys are blowing stuff up. It's just it's raining all this aluminum and stuff. I can't stand looking at it. I just can't stand it. There's nothing. I don't feel any patriotism about it. You know, I don't. So they want us to think that war is a part of our life. We just have to live with it. I don't want it. I really don't. I think that they make us think that if we don't have war, we can't even live. We don't need the crap, but they're going to keep pushing it and causing it and creating enemies like ISIS and BS enemies just to keep everything going. I've kind of had enough of it. And not looking forward to this 4th of July at all. I never do, but today, I mean, celebrating freedom, you bunch of idiots. You had to wear a mask everywhere you went.
Oh,
on,
my
man.
God. No, I had to do one here today, and I want you to know I wasn't wearing a mask at all at, you know, in the 80s, 90-degree temperature. No, I'm not going to. It cuts 20%, 20%
you
of your oxygen off, and it will, if you have it on, actually probably more than a couple of minutes, John, and you're not wearing like an N190, if you wear those blue masks, oh, they're disgusting. It will mess with your lungs, and you can get fungus and all kinds of things in it. So it just scares the whole hell out of me.
Well, no, we're not wearing them. It's over. The stuff, their little joke they played is done. Now we're going to move on to some other ridiculous crap that's fake.
I know.
Destroy our immune system. That's all they're doing.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Some freedom, boy. I'm telling you, this is sick. When you realize what they've done, they've killed a lot of people.
Oh,
okay?
God.
They're stupid,
God.
Fake shot.
Yeah, I know. Trust me, we are on the Tuesday show. Trust me,
that's,
I know we're getting more on at 8. But,
I have a joy about this.
Yeah, it's not good. Not good at all.
No, I'm not proud of it. I'm embarrassed by it. People are just stupid asses.
And
they
now
really
they
are.
They
the
want to vaccinate all the... They want to vaccinate all the children, John. How can you be as a parent want to put something bioweapon into your child?
They'll buy it. And then the same people go, we got to buy organic food, though. Oh, okay. Good idea. You're killing me. Yeah, I mean, I'm in bad spirits with this crap. I really am. I don't like it. I don't feel proud. I feel like shit. Bunch of bullies, and we're supposed to jump in and join in after we've been doggy styled right in the hiney. I don't like it.
I
so,
hear you.
There's my spirit.
I'm sure
sad.
The chat room is lively right now. There you go.
Oh, sure. All these guys going, if you don't like it, get out of America. I'm trying to protect America. Every day I'm passing out flyers to protect it. Do you guys have a flag on your house? What does that do? It just shows you're a moron.
John, give out your website.
Why they can just write me all this horrible stuff. John Graff, YouTube. JohnGraff, YouTube. Okay? Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I'm over the fake patriotism.
I hear you.
Yeah. Half the country's loaded with poison. That's great.
By the way, I wanted to thank our guests last week, Gary Arnold, as well as James, for being on. It was just absolutely a fantastic show, so I want to thank them so much. Wish them a happy
birthday. That was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to get Mark on an 8. You're kind of quiet, Nick. By the way, Nick, I did hear, unfortunately, if you can believe this, John, that Gruesome Newsom is going to raise the California gas tax. He's absolutely evil. It's unbelievable, Nick.
Well,
that,
people
but
go
he's
along
just
with
he's just
do
such
it.
A well, he's so
yeah.
evil. I can't see straight.
Well, it's no big surprise.
The fake water drought. That's going to be. I see the signs on the freeway already. Don't use too much water. On the water plant, there's a drought.
Excuse me.
So
we had 5 years of water for commercial as well as residential, and Gruesome Newsom and his people literally emptied the reservoirs, emptied them. And in just to let you know, in Las Vegas at Hoover Dam, the Hoover Dam is not in operation at all. It gives about 38% to 40% of Vegas their power.
They don't have enough water.
Their turbines aren't doing. So not only do they not give power to Vegas, But there's no water going through Hoover Dam. Hoover Dam is shut.
The dam never really provided power to Vegas anyway. They sent it. They send it elsewhere.
Yeah, it's like 40%. That's what I heard.
But the dam is the water level so low there they can't even build enough pressure to run the turbines.
No, I know.
It's shut.
It's shut.
And I'm pretty sure there's a lot of mob guys going in there at night and pulling stuff out of there so nobody can find it.
Oh my God. Oh.
They already found one guy in a barrel, so.
Oh, one. Nick, I've heard they found many. There's all kinds of horror stories over that one.
Wait till they get to the deep part.
Oh, God. We'll go there.
Jimmy Hoffa. How about that?
Oh, God.
Hey, there you are.
Wonder what happened.
Okay. Unbelievable. So, Gruesome Newsom raised the gasoline tax today. And said he's proud of it. California is going through some major changes and problems, Nick. And he's raising gasoline taxes in California. The guy is completely evil.
Not only is he raising taxes in California, he's also going to be spending California tax money to fly people in from states that don't allow abortions.
Oh, God.
So. Good job. Man, you know, good luck, California. I mean, I swear to God.
How is this guy allowed?
I don't know.
Where does this guy get all this power? I mean, really.
The same place they all get
them. We just say no to everything. This is ridiculous.
And you know, Nick, I hear California, that he's spending money in the state of Florida in running ads against
Ron DeSantis.
Yeah, he's running ads against him. I mean, I can't believe it.
I guarantee it's not his own money either.
I know, God. It's unbelievable. What a pirate. The guy's a total pirate. Oh, my Lord. Total pirate. Oh, my Lord.
Yeah,
let's come back.
Good joke. Get them all out of here.
Unbelievable.
We don't need them.
Well, there's one way to do it.
Yeah, I know.
And only one way to do it at this point.
Yeah.
Not voting, that's for sure. I don't think that's
going to work. Oh, my Lord.
I see that with Newsom winning that thing. How that happened.
I know everybody voted against him, and yet he's like, oh, yeah, I won. And we're like, how's that possible? No one voted for you.
That's impossible. Yeah.
And I still think it's funny that here in Wisconsin, they're talking about the drought we just had. And it's like, you guys didn't have rain for a week and a half, and you're talking about a drought.
In Wisconsin?
Yeah, in Wisconsin. Oh, my God, the drought. It's like two weeks without rain. We finally got some rain. God, the drought is over. It's like, that's not a drought.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord.
They're powdering up the air in our
Well, I've seen them do it here a few times, but not anywhere near as drastic as what they do in California.
I know.
No, this is
we're definitely the guinea pig for evil. Unfortunately, it's City of Angels they've turned it's the dark side for these evil ones. I don't know what to tell you.
Oh, it's so freaking dark.
They've turned to the dark side, man. It's
You're
making me all depressed.
Oh my! Hey, Nick, is there a video you might want to show or run a do a clip on something you wanted to get something out?
Well, check this out. I was at I was at the 4th of July bash at the local. Well, actually, he's a little more than local, but the local talk jock out here in Wisconsin threw this morning over in Green Bay at the. Near the Green Bay Stadium, Lambeau Field. I mean, a bunch of cheeseheads will all be on top of me for that one. But no, it was pretty good. You know, he did his morning show live, and afterwards they played they actually flew in a band from Huntington Beach called Surf's Up, and they did a whole bunch of Beach Boys covers, and I guess the
Oh, how fun.
I guess the oldest guy in the band I guess because it was like father, son, and grandson all playing. But he actually recorded a song with Brian Wilson back in the late 60s or early 70s.
Wow.
And
wow.
Never got released until just this year.
Wow.
Are you kidding? How cool.
But,
how cool.
Yeah,
that's
and it
great.
Was, and it was pretty good and everything, but this is where we're at, you know, as far as some of our elected officials. We had one of the governor candidates show up to the show, as they do, because it's free publicity to them. And just long-winded, gave up some of the, she's very, very good at speaking politician.
And,
I mean, I mean, she really is. You talk. Everybody was trying to bring up, even in the breaks, they were trying to bring up the election integrity and all of that, and they were ripping her to shreds. I mean, worse during the breaks than on the show. I mean, they were shredding this thing, and she was just pushing back. Well, you guys, you know, basically telling everybody, you don't know what you're talking about. That's not – why would you want to keep doing an investigation? But it's like, dear God, this is – and she's like running around going, this is, I'm the only one who can beat the current governor. It's like, you got to be kidding me. This is what we got.
Get out of here.
Now, we got four candidates out here. Only one of them is any good, and she ain't it. I told people this. I've been telling them for a while. It's like, she's lucky she's pretty because, you know, she's really lacking in a lot of other departments there.
Oh, my God.
But, so that was my morning. I actually got in Wisconsin. I actually got a little bit of a tan going now too. So,
wow, there you go. Because
we had the sun out. So I was like, I'm thinking, you know, with the band and everything, I was kind of like kicking it, going like, man, I feel like I'm back in California again, except without the high taxes and the high cost of living and the crappy laws the masks and the lockdowns. I feel like I'm in California except for all of that stuff.
It is. Yeah. Celebrate that freedom.
There you go.
No chemtrail, no stratolinear clouds in the sky either, so.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
What does the sky look like there?
So, yeah, no, it was a pretty good morning. I was having a good old time and just, you know, I got to get away from all the, you know, even though the regular Joe show definitely talks politics a lot. I still felt like I got to get a break away from all this crap, at least for the morning.
There you go.
Yeah, good. For about 4 or 5 hours, which was kind of nice.
That's nice.
Yeah, imagine. That's cool. Holy crap. I'm getting worn out here. This air is just like making me tired all the time. Are you guys feeling that out here?
Oh God, listen. It's about 3 or 4 o'clock, and all of a sudden, if you've been out, and I'm out usually in the morning for a few hours sometimes, but if you're out in it, by the time 3 or 4 o'clock comes, or 5 o'clock comes around the corner, you literally have to lay down for an hour or two because your body is taking too much of it, and you're like you're done. So you have to rest for a little bit, and then, you know, you get up a couple hours later or something. But, yeah, that's the way it is.
Yeah, it is. Every day I'm so freaking tired. Even when I get up in the morning, I'm still – I didn't sleep well or – I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm still tired in the morning.
Well, here's something that'll make you happy, though, because I know you say you hate fireworks and all of that. here's what their alternative is. And because of the increased fire danger, no doubt, because, you know, that's such a big concern out in the Southwest, they're going to be using drones instead of fireworks. What could possibly go wrong with that?
Oh, with a laser? Wee!
Make sure you get the facial recognition technology on board the drones. No, the cameras are just going to be able so we can coordinate.
Spy on you.
Yeah. So,
why with the drones? Are they going to be shooting the fireworks off these drones?
No, they're just going to be like light shows. Synchronized light shows.
I hate it. Oh, yeah, let's celebrate. Celebrate the mask for 2 years. I like that. Such a good idea. What's next? I just can't check. They can shove this so far up. Oh, really? Isn't there another way to celebrate? How about balloons? They're quiet.
Yeah, but they don't have the same thing as like blowing something up.
Oh,
it's gotta have the noise. I mean, they gotta have things blowing up because they're like child a holes. Gotta have some explosions.
In L.A. they're gonna not only be lighting off a bunch of fireworks, but they're probably going to be like shooting off a bunch of guns in Chicago.
Oh,
I guarantee you they're going to be shooting off a bunch of guns.
Oh, yeah, they will.
And I want to see what the body count is going to be in Chicago this weekend.
Listen, I noticed within this last year, at least the last year, this year and a half, that they, now it's different because we get our information, it's not from mainstream media. But the last year and a half, they don't talk about the city of Chicago on mainstream media
Of course not. They don't want that info out there.
Or even New York. They don't mention the crime and horror stories.
This is why you have to go to the statistical department. You know, as much as you can't stand the government, they keep statistics. You go to like the FBI crime statistics or even the CDC. God knows why the CDC is keeping crime statistics, but they do. You can actually look up the rate of homicides in Chicago on any given weekend, and it dwarfs the rest of the country. Now, the rest of the country, don't get me wrong, they're still trying to catch up. It's like they're tired of being number two. We want to be number one. I can't imagine what Chicago is going to. So you got to remember something about Chicago in the summertime. See, in L.A., you've got the heat and all of that, but it's nice and dry, so it's really not that bad. Going through Chicago in the summertime, or just living there. Number one, you've got like 100. Say somewhere between 90 and 100 degree heat, and probably about 90 to 100% humidity. At the same time, and it is absolutely miserable. I've done it. I've driven through that city in the middle of summer. It's just like never again. Not only do I hate the city, but I and the people running it. But man, that weather right there is just like now forget it. It was so thick you could almost not see the buildings because it looked like a fog.
And that's from what?
It's hot and it's sitting right on the southern edge of Lake Michigan.
Yeah.
So it's just a steamy, hot mess,
Oh, God. Oh, that sounds fun.
Yeah. So, it's going to be interesting to see what the crime rate's going to be in Chicago this weekend. So.
Well, they won't be able to see each other through the fog, so maybe they'll miss.
Oh, they'll still hit something, but who knows?
Nick, how come they still have the mayor of Chicago? Is she up for election or is that to recall? I mean, I'm surprised they haven't recalled her. But
I don't know when she's going up for election. It might be this year.
Uh-huh.
But she is such an absolute disaster.
Oh God!
Of a mayor. I mean, just ridiculous. But here's the thing. Even if, say, that she is up for election this year, suppose that they do replace her with somebody else. It's not going to be any better. That city is so controlled, it's unbelievable. They had a guy who was running for, I guess it was like alderman or something of some district, but against an alderman who's been there for forever and was so entrenched in Chicago politics, all he said was, I don't want this guy on the ballot. And guess what? The other guy got kicked off the ballot.
Oh, my God.
They came up with some reasons. We have to make it look legitimate. He goes, I don't care what you do. Make it look legitimate. Get him off the ballot. Dude, they dropped a whole bunch of his signatures, and the guy wasn't on the ballot. So the current alderman had no – that's Chicago politics, and that happens all the time. So even if they get rid of Beetlejuice there – they're still going to get another crappy mayor, and nothing is going to change in Chicago. The crime rate is going to be way up. even the gunfire rate there and gun possession rate there is going to be way up, even though they've got some of the most restrictive gun laws in the nation. I mean, you do not want to get caught with a gun in Chicago. But they don't care. They're not going to change. They've got money to make. There's a lot of money being made on high violent crime rates, and they know it. Plus, they get to use it as political fodder in the media to push for more gun control. But you, again, like you said, you notice they don't talk about Chicago because it doesn't fit the narrative of white on black crime, that which is the narrative. Now, that's all like more like black on black, Latino on black, or black on Latino.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
So,
I'm sure that's why.
By the way, there is some good news. There is some good news, though. Anthony Fauci is having really, really bad COVID symptoms after taking Paxlovid.
I heard that. Why do I not believe anything
of
that?
Oh, God. What a unhumanitarian person of all time is this Mr. Fauci.
I don't believe it. He's just trying to make it seem like it's real. I don't believe that. But you never know. I don't know. I don't even know if Fauci's a real person.
Well, he did. Well, no, he came out and he's like, after I finished the 5 days of Paxlovid, I reverted to negative on the antigen test for 3 days in a row. 3 days. And then on the fourth day, just to be absolutely certain, I tested myself again and reverted right back to positive. And this is getting worse.
He tested himself. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Oh, my Lord.
He's lying through his teeth. Yeah, has he ever told the truth once? No.
No, he doesn't tell the truth about anything.
He's a creepy little worm of a douche. I can't stand this guy.
But the fact that this guy who's been out there pushing vaccines like a crack dealer on the corner, you know, for 2 years, and the fact he's out there bragging how he took the vaccines and then he turns out he got it. It's like, well, what does that tell you?
He didn't take it, first of all, I don't believe.
Well,
I hope somebody...
let's make the assumption that he did. Okay, just assume that.
He knows what they're saying is true.
That basically tells you that everything that they've been pushing for the last year and a half about these so-called vaccines is complete and utter bullshit. And that's the gold star right there. We already knew all the rest of it, but him catching it after saying that he got vaccinated, that's the gold star. That's a good day for me because now you can shove it in his face.
Well, yeah, I know, but what a perfect thing to say is that I got it. Look how real it is. Even I can get it. Gopher face. You know, I don't believe it. Honestly, it just sounds like another one of their horse crap lies. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But the day I hear truth from any of these creeps, I'll be surprised. He wouldn't say it if he'd got it, unless he had an ulterior motive. And that motive.
Well, I'm sure there is one. It's probably going to be, thank God I got the vaccines, or this could have been so much worse.
Oh, God.
You know, something like that. Or they're going to start pushing, it mutated and I got the mutated strain, so now we have to get you a different vaccine now that, lo and behold, Pfizer just happened to have sitting around on their shelf somewhere. You know, blow the dust off of that vial and we'll make some more money.
Oh, my God, you're walking the line on Gilbert Godfrey. You're killing me.
Oh, yeah, I know. I'm trying to do Fauci and I end up sounding like Gilbert Godfrey. But we also got to pay tribute a little bit to Dr. Zev Zelenko, who passed away yesterday.
Yes.
He's the guy that they went after almost right away when he was coming out and saying the whole mask lockdown. Vaccine, all of that is crap. And he came up with the Zelenko protocols early on. I mean, like back in the 2020, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, vitamin D, get out in the sun, vitamin C, and a whole bunch of other stuff that was actually working. And of course, they tried to destroy this guy.
Oh, God.
Yep,
I agree.
And, of course. No, and he was an actual doctor. He went to medical school and everything. You think he doesn't know what he's talking about? You know, I mean, I know. Oh, Fauci went to medical school too, though, Nick. Yeah, but he never practiced medicine a day in his life. He went right into he went right into like the let's destroy your immune system department in the government.
Yeah, he sure did.
But I gotta run before we come into the break. I want to run a couple of these.
Please do.
They're like a couple minutes long each of Dr. Zelenko.
Okay. Yeah.
And
he passed away.
Yeah. The cancer finally got. Imagine that. He picked up cancer in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Shocker.
Yeah. Shocker.
But, so let me run a couple of these because he was definitely on the front lines of fighting all this crap that the government been shoving up everybody's ass for 2 years.
No, you're not kidding.
I started the Zelenko Freedom Foundation because I'm dying. It seems. I've been here before, so I can't say for sure. God has played ping pong with my soul, but at this point, my health situation has seriously changed. Basically need a wheelchair to move around and need help taking a shower, preparing food, going to the bathroom. So as I look at this stage of my life, my body is failing me. Legacy becomes essential. I think life is much bigger than any one individual. And if we could set up systems in place that can propagate principles of truth, of love, courage, to do what's right, not what's easy. I think that's a worthy use of someone's last energies. I want the epitome of truthful messaging, journalism, through various platforms, whether it's social media, regular media, print media, irrelevant, word of mouth, in houses of worship. I want the truth like a mantra propagated. I'm presenting to you a different perspective than what you've been told.
Unbelievable.
All right,
that was
one. Sorry, guys. Here's another quick one. I just came from my doctors. And not good news. My cancer, which I've been fighting for 4 years, has progressed. There's one last ditch effort that may lead to cure, which I'm going to do. But if that fails, then the estimates are unpleasant. But I've been at this place multiple times in the last 4 years. And so when someone lives with that consciousness, something happens. Like something very good happens. You kind of live each day and you appreciate time. And in reality, just think of it philosophically. You begin to die from the day you're born. No one lives forever. Some people live 20 years, some people live 100 years. But in the grand scheme of creation, it's finite. So in my opinion, it's not important when and how you die. It's much more important how you live. And so, because when and how you die is not in your control, but how you live is in your control. How you think, how you speak, and how you act, it's within the free will and volition of man. So my advice to people is appreciate the gift of consciousness in life you're being given. Happy birthday, because every instant of time is a act of recreation. It's a dynamic involvement on God's part for us to be. If you woke up, that's proof that he wants you to be, that you didn't finish your job. And I would say the world will be redeemed or fixed, rectified through acts of goodness and kindness. Even if the sword is on your neck, you should never give up hope. I do feel the sword on my neck, but I'm still very hopeful. And I live with more tranquility and serenity than I've ever had in my life, which is very counterintuitive. Because for the carnage and the malevolence, evil that I've come into contact with in the last 2 years, I would not expect that type of inner peace. But what I've realized is that when you're in alignment, or you seem to be in alignment with the divine will, there's a certain gift of tranquility to do it. And it's not easy, by the way. It's very hard, but so what? And it's a constant struggle, but all the suffering that I went through, I still wouldn't give it up. By the way, I didn't ask for this challenge, but no one asked me. So as I went through it, I am going through it. The serenity is really something that I've been seeking my whole life. So I'm very grateful to have it.
Thank you, Nick. That was great.
Wow.
One more. There's still a couple on here.
Okay.
Oh. Cool. See, the thing I liked about Zelenko is that even while he was dying of cancer all this time, I can run the clips at on the other side of the hour.
Sure, Mark.
But even though he was dying with all this, you heard him. He said, you know, he's having trouble. He was having trouble, you know, just living on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
Had to help up with everything. He still didn't give up kicking these ass bags in the nuts as hard as he can all the time. Like Fauci. Yeah. Here's a swift one for you. Choke on those. And was out there, had no problem telling everybody. It's like, look, they're lying to you. They're trying to kill you. They're poisoning you. I know this because I've seen it. I had to work in that industry. And here's what really works. And the reason that they don't want you to have it is because it actually works. You know,
he's a hero. I mean, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we lost a good one in that fight. And really the big downside of this is that Fauci is still alive. You know,
that is downside.
But,
worm face.
No, this guy was a fighter. This guy was, didn't have any problem like putting his money where his mouth was. And
I really respect those people, man. I really do. You know, all these people that have pulled through and told the truth like this, they would end up, you know,
I know we're gonna get Mark on in a minute, but I know he's probably listening, but today also unfortunately I had the radio on in the car a little bit, Nick, and they're trying to say that, oh, the increase of monkeypox. And I'm like, what horseshit?
Yeah.
You just take ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine and quercetin. If that were the case, I mean, you know, first of all, monkeypox is only 80 cases around the world. You have to either be in the continent of Africa or actually work with certain types of primates.
You can't call it monkeypox anymore because that's racist.
Oh, God. So it's SARS-2? Is that what they're calling it, SARS-2?
Oh, I don't know what they're calling it, but
I
know monkeypox is racist for some reason.
Don't give it a name.
But the hydroxychloroquine and the ivermectin totally work against it. So as long as you have some of that, you're good to go. And this is just like, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, and again, this guy was out there early, too. He wasn't...
Very much so.
He wasn't waiting for, okay, well, now that the vaccine is around, let me try that. No, he was out there in 2020 saying, no, look, this is what works.
Yeah.
Okay, anything, the masks don't work. We all pretty much knew that anyway, but he was one of the first people out there saying it and saying, like, look, the masks don't work. They don't stop a microscopic virus from passing through a hole that's bigger than the virus is.
Yeah.
By the way, they're made in China, too, so what does that tell you?
Right.
You know?
Love the video, too, of them stomping all over Mother making them.
So,
my personal favorite.
Yeah, so this is gonna be, well, it's going to be up to us at this point to pick up where he left off.
I agree.
And run with it from there. And I'm never going to stop sitting there going hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, quercetin.
Yeah.
If you can get your hands on those, do it. And get out in the sun, get your vitamin D levels up, take vitamin C.
Yeah.
You know, get your zinc. Make sure you got your zinc in there to help make this stuff move around your body. And tell the people that want to stick you with the death shot to go F themselves as hard as you can.
Just like this guy did.
If this guy can do it still be doing it when he was a month or a week away from dying from cancer, if you're still healthy, what's stopping you?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
this guy had the full weight of not just the government, but a whole bunch of pharmaceutical companies raining down hell on him, and he still stood up and just said, you know what? You guys are wrong. I'm right. Go F yourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
And his practice too, Nick, he couple thousand people he put on, because from New York, he put on the hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, and everyone, it worked on like every single person.
Yeah. He was the anti-Fauci.
Yeah.
Okay, he was out there helping you build your immune system, saying this is what you got to do to help build your immune system. And Fauci's out there, well, you got to take the vaccine because if you don't, your immune system's going to die. What do you mean your immune system's dead? Oh, gee, well, it wasn't my fault. It wasn't me. You know, you got to blame other people because, you know, you can't blame the Chinese because we gave money to the Chinese to develop this thing.
Oh, God. It sounds like Biden, well, he's blaming yesterday and all the day before. It's the Russians. The Russians did it. The Russians are coming.
Well, Biden,
the Russians did it. The Russians.
Always keep in mind this. Biden will blame who's ever on the teleprompter. He actually has no idea who he's blaming or what he's blaming him for.
He's watching a mosquito on the ceiling or something. He's not paying attention to anything going on.
I'd like you to meet my dead son, Bo. I'm your granddaughter there, Joe. Who crapped my pants again? We gotta find that guy. He keeps doing it.
Just rude. Yeah, that's
fine. But Zelenko's going to be really missed in this fight. But like I said, it's just now it's up to us to pick it up where he left off and run with it and take it in whatever direction we have to stop these bastards from killing us all the damn time. Which is, by the way, is their ultimate goal.
Right.
Yeah, it is.
There's the break. We're going to be right back, guys. Welcome back to... Hold on, we'll be right back with Granada Forum Revolution Radio, we'll bring in Mark and maybe a special guest, we hope. So hold on, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Interested in the paranormal, murder mystery, real natural law,
Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crypt Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Rick's Ivan, thank you. Welcome to the Crypt.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern. On Studio B at freedomslips.com.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps. All right, thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Radio program, ladies and gentlemen, and this is Revolution Radio. Hopefully you got Mark with us. Mark, are you there?
No, not yet. I'm just calling him in now.
Okay.
Now he's with us.
Mark?
Yeah.
Hey.
Hey, what's up?
Glad you're with us. I know it's been a rough 24 hours because this is Lenko, so, you know, I know it's been crazy, to say the least.
Yeah, it is a very somber moment in the last 24 hours.
Yeah.
But we have to remember what he said, you know, to carry on. And he also has the Freedom Foundation that's going to carry on what he started.
Yeah.
So just, you know, the biggest thing is, you know, he is a major example of what real doctors are supposed to do.
Yeah, exactly. And none of it.
You know, he dealt with real facts. he dealt with the importance of trusting God. That's why he wasn't afraid to go. And, you know, you guys had already mentioned, I mean, been through multiple health issues, heart surgeries, the removal of a lung, dealing with cancer that usually they don't find until after people are gone, and then they figure out they had cancer. So, I mean, it's really, I didn't know that he was so young either. I mean, 48 is very young.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know. I thought he was older than that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he looked way more mature than he was. But the main thing is he didn't fall for the lies. He kept his Hippocratic oath.
All right.
He studied stuff that worked, and he set the example for the rest of everybody that believes in the truth to follow. You know, and don't trust in man, trust in God, and you're going to be all right.
There you go.
And, you know, he's going to continue to be in my prayers. His family is going to continue to be in my prayers. That's something I think we should do. Stu Peters said the same thing, you know. You know, he's still with us, just not in the physical
realm. Yeah.
So we have to move forward on that. It's
absolutely. Nick, did we possibly get the special guest, too, besides Mark?
Ian?
No. The person I mentioned to you when we're speaking. You usually have him on the on your computer.
Yeah, hold on. Let me see. I got to go through my list of people here.
Okay.
Let's see, where is he? Well, you guys can still talk, you know.
Okay.
I'm looking.
Okay. By the way, Mark, is there a clip you wanted to play or something you wanted to play?
Yeah, I do. There's a new variant that's hitting the vaccinated. I could play a couple of minutes of that real quick for you.
God.
Okay.
Is this for real or is this a joke?
How the news scripts these things out, how they all start changing, you know, their language together. But one of the things that we have to keep our eye on is, you know, Omicron, or is just the SARS-CoV-2 virus, right? All of these variants, and we have talked to multiple scientists, including here at Vandenbosch, talking about the pressure we're putting on this virus with this massive vaccination program that has never taken place in the history of the world. We've never vaccinated this people for one disease all at one time. And so last week I reported that Memorial Day weekend, they reported that we had, I think, six times the amount of SARS-CoV-2 infections in the U.S. than we did the previous Memorial weekend. Luckily, Omicron is mild, but we are all watching to see, does it remain mild as it continues to, you know, mutate? And so some of the headlines in America are alarming. There appears to be some new variants on the way. This is what it says. Battle of Omicron. This is deadline. Battle of Omicron being won by new BA4 and BA5 variants as overlapping COVID waves hit the U.S. It goes on to say estimates released by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention today indicate that the share of cases tied to Omicron variants, BA4 and BA5, increased 79% in just the past week. Now, I don't think we have to be super alarmed at the moment because this BA4 and BA5, we looked at the CDC website, appears to be making up right around 13% of the total amount of SARS-CoV-2 cases in the U.S., but as they're saying, it's growing 79% per week. But this is a headline that grabbed my attention on Substack. BA5 is a variant for boosted people. South Africa versus Portugal, same variant, opposite outcomes. Now, one of the things about this is an independent journalist named Igor Chudov, but he's being shared on Twitter and different social media platforms, and he has been on many articles. So when I dove into his article, I said, wow, this guy is really laying out facts and graphs. in a way so compelling, I decided, you know what, I got to meet this guy. I want to see, you know, first of all, about this article, but how he's gotten into this material and what got him in the middle of this. So it's my honor and pleasure right now to be joined by Igor Chudov.
Yeah, Igor Chudov goes through the whole thing of how these variants are happening, and mostly in the people that have been vaccinated.
Wow.
God, endless horse crap.
Wow.
So, if our guest isn't on, I'll continue to do this.
Did you pick up Nick?
I'm trying to bring him in now, so.
Okay.
Just waiting to see if he picks up.
Okay.
Okay, if not, I'll put Igor on in a minute.
Okay. Thank you, Mark.
What's his last name? Igor what?
Do we have...
Hello?
Hey, we got Sean.
Hi.
Sean!
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, hi.
Hey,
okay, I'm on. Thank you. I'm on Skype. I'm ready to go. You want to do some Skype or Zoom or something?
All right, I'll do the... Let me call you back on the Skype line.
Okay, got it. Bye.
Bye-bye.
We're going All to right, be joined me... by Sean David Morton. It'll be a lot of fun. How long is your clip with Igor?
Well, there's about 10 more minutes on it.
Okay. All right.
All right. Want. We got Sean back.
Sean, welcome back to the program, and thank you for joining us pre 4th of July. We appreciate this.
Sure thing. Thank you. I'm sorry I didn't call you earlier, but I was doing another show.
No, I figured. Hey, listen. I know you're a jack of all trades, and you're a busy man. So trust me on that one.
Did you call me a jack off of all trades? What are you implying?
I heard that.
What are you implying? Yes. So see you later, Masturbated. All right. What's up, Wendy? Great to hear from you.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me ask you, Sean. What's one thing that you think it's important going on in America?
Wow. Well, it's been a good week for the good guys. That's all I can say. If you look at what's gone down, so many great things. You had the you had the Supreme Court finally strike down that ridiculous Roe v. Wade, which has been responsible for the deaths of 75 million people.
Right.
So that puts their supposed fascio feminist philosophy, in the same league as the Soviets, in the same league, you know, with 125 million dead. Same league as the Sino-Communists and Mao Zedong with 60 million dead. Same league as Obama and Bush, who killed 27 million people in the Middle East. So that's one thing. Then they strike down the concealed carry laws, where you have to have a bunch of reasons for a permit. And today, they basically struck down a bunch of other appellate court rulings against the Second Amendment. So it's been a great week for the Second Amendment. It's been a great week for the lives of children. And families and the true feminism is we should have been focusing on the lives of women having kids. And people remember the old days, we used to have Father Flanagan's home for boys, orphanages run by the Catholic Church. You've got so many people who want to adopt, and the adoption laws are really onerous. And here's the one other thing that's interesting: we're literally in a new world now, because today all over the news you had a guy named Brian Deese, look him up, D-E-E-S-E, and Brian Deese came out and said that your gas prices are going to be high because we're defending, and this is what he called it the liberal world order is what he called it. We're going to defend the LWO, not the NWO, New World Order, but what he called the liberal world order, and that Biden was saying, well, the suffering is going to continue until this liberal world order is established. So they're losing their mind. They're finally telling you what they are and who they are, and these creatures are crawling out of their human skin to show you the kind of demonic swine they really are. So it's been a good week for the good guys, and again, Clarence Thomas has been behind a bunch of it, because Clarence Thomas he wanted the election fraud. He wanted the Barack Obama the citizenship question. He wanted a gun case. He wanted the abortion case, and the last thing that's on his list, which will be interesting to see if he gets it done, is he wanted a major tax case, and they almost did it. And this is a huge deal if you know anything about the way tyranny is constructed. The Jeffersonian definition of tyranny, was that when one government agency or branch of government can make the law, interpret the law, and then enforce the law. That's every – that's the EPA. That's the FDA. That's the IRS. They all have their own armies now. They've all got their own codes. And unfortunately, there was a Supreme Court decision, which was Chevron versus EPA. When the EPA went in and started regulating and started making up a bunch of laws for Chevron, and Chevron fought it. And basically, the Supreme Court said, well, a federal agency can make their own law, enforce their law, and if there's not a real law out there, then you know we defer to the federal agency to make up its own laws and codes, which has led to and today they finally ruled for a factory, and they ruled against the EPA, seeing that the EPA couldn't just go into this factory and shut it down and do all the things that they were doing, and that they were overreaching their authority. And again, they use the EPA because everybody likes trees, you know. Oh, it's for the environment, and you know they're couching it in, oh, you know they were polluters and there was bad things in the air and it was making us sick. And so they finally shut that down. They finally reeled in the EPA, which means next they can reel in the IRS and you know other agencies that have their own armies basically and interpret their and make and enforce and interpret their own law. So that's a huge deal. They didn't go into actually revoking what they call the Chevron deference, but it came close to it.
Well, that's fantastic.
Yeah, and
oh,
that's always an inevitability with these bureaucracies, is they always at some point in their existence go to the government and you know when during one of the expansions of their budget say we have to be armed so we can enforce our regulations, not the law, our regulations.
Right. Exactly right. Let me just tell you a quick story here that in the early 1970s, my stepfather, Frank Salomon, and my mother, she was head of the National Health Federation for like 37 years. I mean, we're responsible. My family is responsible for getting chiropractics and acupuncture and Ayurvedic medicine, chelation therapy. I mean, you think of that today and you think, well, that's just, you know, everybody can get that. No, you couldn't in the 1970s. But we're the ones that went to Washington and we're the ones that fought for this. And my dad was arrested. I mean, my first was 1974, I think, my first encounter, you know, as a teenager, you know, having helicopters and government thugs kick in our door and point guns in our faces. And my mother went crazy. She was like a Tasmanian devil. She, like, punched this guy and, you know, bit him on the leg. And it's just like, you know, it's like, so she, my mother's going nuts. I mean, she's just going ballistic on these people. I mean, and they're outside of her beating up on me, I've never seen her. I mean, I swear she got a belt out and started whipping one of these agents. It was crazy. And but my dad, Frank, they dragged him from Atherton in you know, south of San Francisco. Well, they dragged him down to San Diego, and he went through a 76-day court trial where they spent it was 76 days. They spent – it was the most expensive and longest trial in San Diego history, and they were – they were using a Tenth Circuit court ruling called the Mahana decision to allow people to bring Laetril across the border, Laetril amygdala, which is – it's apricot pits. It's just defatted apricot pits.
B-17.
And they were using – and they were going to go to prison for 30 years. And the thing that was being judged was that the head of the FDA had written a memo that said, I don't want this coming into the country. And so the question became, they were being prosecuted on the force of that memo. So what came into it was, does a memo from the head of a federal regulatory agency carry the same weight as a law passed by a Congress and a Senate, signed by a governor, the president, whatever else? And guess what? It did. And it was just, you know, they finally got out of it by the skin of their teeth with only like 3 years probation and like a $10,000 fine when the judge said these guys aren't drug dealers. They were using a pre-existing. He should have dismissed the whole case. But the reason we got into the health stuff, and this is why the vaccines and everything else has been so important, is we were heavily involved in the John Birch Society. And my stepdad was like, look, we're not into it. We're into it to birch more birchers. We're not really into it for the health stuff. We're into it because you can beat up Americans, you can rape them, you can tax them till they're dead. But you show them that, you know, Grandma or Billy or Susie could be helped by, you know, by a drug, by a process, by a treatment. And then it gets personal. Then you realize that the medical, you know, the military industrial pharmaceutical entertainment complex, as I call it, because they're all linked together. because whether you know it or not, the pharmaceutical agencies, they own things like Raytheon, and they own things like, you know, Nancy Pelosi has stock in Javelin missiles. So it all just comes together into this. And when the military industrial...
They also own Bono from U2 as well.
Yeah, so but when the military industrial pharmaceutical entertainment complex gets involved in this, and all this to enslave the people and do what it is they did with the vaccines, that's what it took to wake people up to the fact that the government's not your friend, that they're not on your side, that they have no interest whatsoever in your life or your well-being, and that you're a slave. And the reason the Bilderbergers meet, the reason all these big giant cabals meet, is that they just want to figure out how to make more money off the sheep, you know, off the cattle. How do we, you know, and there's no such thing as governments. They're all corporations. Everybody thinks that Russia is against the United States, against this and that and the other thing. They're all the left and the right wing of the same evil bird. Although I do think that, you know, the only person that's standing up to him and the reason they have to destroy him is that finally Putin has just upset the apple cart. And he's come in and said, I will strangle the new world order with my bare hands if necessary. And so there's my opening pitch there.
Yeah, well, you know, I was going to say, what do you think about this stuff that they want to start creating babies outside the womb?
They've been doing that forever. They've been doing that since the 60s.
Yeah, but now they want to bring it to fruition in the public the way they do with all this transhumanism and everything else.
Well, I mean, we had proof when we were looking at the Dulce Mesa in the 1970s and the videotape that we had out of there of them growing these... them growing a workforce that looked like aliens, you know, in the tanks at Dulce. And that's also in 1977, Dr. Henry Monteith at Dulce basically developed genetic engineering of crossbreeding DNA and RNA from plants into animals. And there's on the videotape, he grew this big plant that had he crossed an aloe vera plant with a hamster. And it had these big feet on it, and it had golden fur, and it was like a little shop kind of thing. But that's where all the GMO stuff came out of. It all came out of Dulce in 1977 because there's an article in Omni magazine later that year after I'd seen the video, where Omni magazine made fun of the fact that now you can have, you know, walking trees, and they had a cartoon with, you know, trees throwing apples at the Wizard of Oz guys, and they were saying,
that's,
you know.
So right.
And the Wizard of Oz has, you know, come to pass. And now we've got crossing rot genes with tomatoes so that tomatoes, they last longer. They don't freeze. They cross it with tobacco because, you know, then the weevils don't eat tobacco. And, you know, so all of this genetic engineering was all developed at the Dulce Mesa in the late 70s. And Monsanto took out the patent on the genetic engineering of all this stuff in the 1978. And 1977 was when the first big conflict happened in Dulce when it was like we went to war with the ETs that were there, and they were growing these creatures they would grow them until they were about 4 feet high. And again, if you want to grow a very simplistic biological organism, you just take out, well, the only thing that makes human beings complicated is our digestive system and our reproductive system. If you take those out, now you've got just kind of a brain and a spine with arms and legs hanging off it. And that's one of the reasons why the cattle mutilations were happening around Dulce, because they were exsanguinating the cattle. They were putting the blood in these big vats. They were mixing it with a hydrogen peroxide solution because it increased the oxygen flow in the stuff. And you just pick up one of these boogies and you know, your little worker drone, and you put them in a tub and they just swim around, and that's how they eat. They would absorb and excrete nutrients to the skin. That's why the, quote, ETs, when people saw them, their skin was always peeling off and they smelled like sulfur. Because that was, you know, the only way for them to excrete waste product was actually through the pores, through the skin, because they didn't have genitalia, really. And then once you were done with them and they wore out, you just grind them up and you feed them to the other, you know, the other batch of clone things. This is why there's a whole other explanation as to why people see what they think are aliens or ETs working with the military, when it could be stuff that we're just growing, that we need... a workforce inside these horrific nightmare places, where, because every scientist needs a staff of like 20 people, and those people need to be fed, and they've got big mouths, and they would probably blow the whistle on all this stuff. So why not just clone your own workforce, which is what they did?
Wow.
Are you saying that's the script for all the dumb bases then across the United States?
Well, they're a little bit different because the dumb bases, if you'll notice, what's been happening is that the here's what's going to blow you guys out. If you'll notice, all the dumb bases are built 10.6 kilometers down. And they've all been being – there's a whole series of them in the Philippines that are being blown up. And they cause these earthquakes when they blow them up. And you can see that the earthquakes are happening in a straight line. And each one of the dumb bases that gets blown up, this is a precursor to an invasion. And the invasion is that they're being attacked from below. They're being attacked from I guess you could call a race of Saurians that have been evolved in the inner Earth. When the big war happened 65 million years ago, the real thing about what made the dinosaurs extinct was that you had a reptilian race that came in from another dimension that was then fighting a tall white race that we think were the Lyrans, who are the direct descendants. The Pleiadians and all the various white races are all direct descendants of the Lyrans. And the Lyrans are like these kind of giant blonde giants, like the Norse gods that kind of blazed across the universe. At war with most of the Oriental or Asian races that we're at war with. And the big battle came 65 million years ago where, again, they were coming from another dimension. The Lyrans fought them off. And so the surface of the planet became kind of annihilated 65 million years ago. So they wiped out the dinosaurs on the surface. So all of them went underground, whereas the mammals all went up into the trees. So the Lyrans and the Pleiadians began to evolve the mammals and the trees, whereas the Alpha Draconians were the ones that began to evolve the reptilians that went underground. So you have a race of reptilians underground that apparently have declared war on us. They used to have a warren of these things or a nest of them at the center of the Pentagon, and they disappeared a couple of years ago. So apparently we're in a state of war with the beings in the – I can't say it's really the inner Earth because, you know, people would think that the Earth is hollow, and it's not. But it's not what they think it is because there's huge – underground continents. The two biggest ones, the first one is under the Himalayas, which is called Agartha Major, and the other one, the smaller one, is under the Gobi Desert, which they call Agartha Minor. And but that's what's happening.
Which one was the one that Admiral Byrd went into?
Well, okay. I'm not so sure he did, but if you're looking at the Antarctic expedition. And it's just there's so many nebulous things around that. The thing is that the Antarctic is melting and they don't want to – you can literally go down under that. I think the New World Order or the liberal world order, you can take a ladder, you can take an elevator, you can go down, and there's a massive underground area where the water's warm. There's fish down there. It could be the last refuge. If there's some kind of planetary war for these, for the council or for these New World Order guys, and I don't know if Antarctica is what's left of, it's what's left of the Atlantean continent that was down there. So I can't really answer that question at the moment, but let me see.
But I do know that Admiral Sean. That yeah. When Admiral Byrd went down in 1948 or something, 49, right? That he went with 5,000 men, including 23 ships, including some battleships and carriers. He only came back with 150 men and five ships.
Well, I don't think it was that many. I think it was more it was more like 1,500, and he actually had two.
Okay.
He had two rudimentary aircraft carriers. And he was actually asked by a Chilean newspaper. He said, "Why are you taking this this combat group?" And he said, "Quote: In case we meet the enemy across the ice." Now, again, this was more like I don't think it was 48. I think it was more like maybe it was. I mean, and they said, "Well, who's the enemy? I mean, you guys beat the Germans a long time ago."
Right.
And he said, "Oh, no comment." And
right.
And yeah, he got his plane shut down. And again, I would not dismiss the Germans at the center
with right.
highly advanced technology, because the Germans had actually explored Antarctica in 34 and 35, and they'd left German flags all over. As a matter of fact, National Geographic magazine still identifies in many of the magazines the entire Antarctic area as New Schwabenland because it was actually claimed by the Germans.
Right.
So, and again, they were geniuses at building underground bases. If anybody's familiar with Project High Jump, that was us building underground facilities in the Arctic instead of the Antarctic. But the Germans were geniuses at building massive underground facilities and building submarine bays and what have you. As a matter of fact, the underground tunnel system that you guys know now as the dumb bases, which were down, were the entire underground hyperloop system was developed by a guy named Walter Dorch. And Dorch was a genius Nazi scientist. And of course, they offered him a deal under Project Paperclip. And, he was the one that figured out how to drill and harden these tunnels so that you can then shoot a hyperloop thing through a vacuum. And, again, you'll notice that all of the dumb bases are laid out in a straight line, and the reason we're destroying them is because of a base is overrun by the Saurians or the Reptilians or Silurians or whatever. I mean, they have a name, which, you know, I could spell out for you, but you can't pronounce it. It's like Shishim Dom Thies. I mean, it would make your jaw fall off if you pronounced it.
But they're all reptilians, basically, right?
Yeah, they're reptilians. And what's happening is that once the reptilians overrun these underground bases, which is what's happening now, as a precursor to an invasion for something that's on its way here that could possibly attack as early as 2024. This is what I'm laying out now. This is why, you know, everybody needs to get the Sands of Time. The Time Runner books are all of that. And again, I got all the material for all the Sands of Time books I got before. I think it was spring of 2009. But it was all out in there, which is why I predicted everything from Donald Trump being president to him actually winning the – what didn't make any sense to me was seeing him win the election but not serve as president, which made no sense at the time but, you know, makes perfect sense now. And it'll be interesting to see what happens when and if, because I think Trump and DeSantis are going to team up. And I think the best scenario is going to be is that if Trump runs as president, DeSantis falls into line as vice president – then that means that they can control the executive branch for the next 12 years because Trump can only run. He can only serve 4 years, and he's too old to run again. And, of course, constitutionally, that's my argument against these people. I'm not going to call them names, but, you know, people who are telling you that, oh, no, Trump's really president of the United States, and he's part of the Republic and all that other stuff. And I'm like, okay, then he can't – if he's serving as president now, then he can't run for president in 2024, can he? And they're like, oh, no, and they just kind of hum and haw, and they give you some dumbass excuse like, oh no, because as the president of the republic, he can come back and he can serve. Well, no, he can't. So, but if he comes in with DeSantis, in the reality, Trump rules for 4 years, and then DeSantis takes over and, you know, rules for the next 8. So they could conceivably control the executive branch of the government for the next 12 years. Does that make sense?
Well, even if DeSantis were to be president, he could go for 8 years.
That's what I just mean. Trump would be for 4, and then he would go for 8.
Yeah, that's 12. But I'm saying if Trump didn't get the ticket, if DeSantis ran, I'm pretty sure he would win. I mean, just looking at the response to Roe and all the states reacting in a positive manner, I mean, he would right off the bat, he's got a lot of support.
Yeah, but again, they could. It's sort of why they didn't. The scenario was when they shot Reagan in 81. The only reason they saved Reagan's life was because they did not think that Bush could run again and win, and that they said, look, Reagan will behave himself. That's when he was driving around in the car, and they were thinking, where do we take him? Do we take him to George Washington and save his life, or do we take him to Walter Reed and put him down and kill him? And then they said, well, Bush isn't popular enough, we don't think, to win an 84 election, but if we keep Reagan under control, then we run Bush again, and we've got the possibility of controlling the executive branch for, you know, for, what, 16 years, I guess? But, of course, then, you know, Ross Perot came in and upset their apple cart, just like Trump did. So, you know, and that's what pulled enough votes away from Bush, which then allowed Clinton to win the election with less than 42% of the vote. By the way, he never got the popular vote ever. He won by 42% and then won by barely 46% the second time. So he was not well liked by the public.
What would be your analysis if the World Economic Forum is successful with this global treaty for pandemic control and DeSantis and Trump are in office? what would be the likely scenario as far as the U.S. response to that treaty?
That's a good question. I would think that, you know, as the president, he could probably he could probably nullify it. The first thing they'll do is withdraw from the Paris Climate Accords, because that's what's, you know, limiting a lot of our stuff. That's the first thing that Biden joined again, was the Paris Climate Accords, which basically just muzzles everything the United States can do to compete, and, you know, hands the world to China. Because remember, you can do it by treaty, because if they go in with a treaty, then treaties supersede the Constitution. So, you know, it would be a genius way for them to get around it and do something with it. But, you know, this is us fighting back. I mean, this is their, you know, this is their way to, you know, mess with us all. So, you see that this weird rocket crashed on the moon this week?
No, please go into it.
There's a mystery rocket actually crashed into the moon that was created two large craters. And scientists are baffled because they don't know, you know, where the rocket came from, or why the impact. I can forward it to you. It's on YouTube. Let me see. Let me just give it. It's a little thing. Gravitas, mysterious.
What this rocket was, where it came from. No country is willing to take responsibility. And adding to the conundrum is the fact that this crash created not one, but two craters on the moon. And this is something unusual, say scientists. A series of claims and counterclaims are being made, but all of them fail to explain this mystery. Here's a report.
All right, well, there you go. This is only featured on Indian television, actually, oddly enough. So what I'll do instead of run that, because it's got a bunch of visuals and whatever else, but I'll, there you go. Do you have an email I can send this to?
Nick, give me your email. Nick?
Nick's asleep.
Nick, are you there?
You can send it to my email.
Send it to Mark.
Yeah, I'm sorry. My computer's bogging down again. So.
He's going to send you some email.
Just give me the email.
All right, let me give you my email off air.
Shoot. Oh,
at the end of the show.
Okay, I was hoping to send it to you now, but that's all right. You guys don't have one public email between the four of you?
Mark, want to give me yours?
Yeah, I could take mine. It's MHBG, then it's 77s in a row at TWC.com.
At what again? At where?
TWC.com.
Okay, there you go. Here's the whole story on it. So where are we going? What else are we talking about today?
I'd like to talk about
Zev Zelenko passing by and your passing away, and your comments on that, and what you would recommend to the people that are fighting in the same vein that he is. What would you say about that?
Zev Zelenko?
Yeah, Dr. Zelenko.
Sorry, I don't have too many opinions. You guys probably know way more about him.
Oh, okay.
He saved thousands of lives, and he was one of the guys who came out the first couple of months with the hydroxychloroquine protocol with zinc.
He and his wife were both murdered, I heard.
He passed away of cancer.
He passed away of cancer yesterday, according to the official story, but who knows, because he was in a hospital, what happened. You know, he could have been taken out because he was in a hospital, but he's no longer with us. And, you know, he came up with the Z-Stack protocol. He came up with a lot of early treatment protocols, along with Peter McCullough and along with FLCC Alliance with Dr. Paul Merrick and Pierre Corey, as well as Stella Emanuel in Texas. So they were all kind of came out with these early treatments, but now he's no longer with us. But he said, you know, we should not quit speaking out against this fraud and this narrative, and that he had started the Freedom Foundation to carry on what he started with the other doctors that were telling the truth.
Okay. The guy who was the manufacturer of hydroxychloroquine, that he and his wife both were somebody broken in his house and shop. I believe.
Oh, okay.
We have a message.
Sorry, my computer is acting all kinds of screwy, so
it's okay. I'm
just gonna bear with me a little bit. When if you hear something weird or something goes screwy, it's my computer acting up, and I can't shut it down right now because we're still got a half an hour or about 15 or 20 minutes left. So I don't know. It's like my every time I starting to do something, my computer becomes a target.
Sean, what's your take on Bill Gates going from a computer geek to a farmer?
Wow.
Oh, God.
All I can tell you is it's everything that Bill Gates gets involved with, you'll notice that there's suddenly a crisis of some kind. And
the
fact that it's now Dr. Bill Gates and now it's Farmer Bill Gates. And, he just bought he and the Chinese have just bought hundreds of thousands of acres of farmland in Texas. And the Chinese have bought 140 million acres of land in the middle of Texas just recently. So this goes along with what I've been saying for years, is that the military assessment is that the population of China was going to become so large that by 2025 they were going to need an entire new planet. An entire new planet just to feed the population of China. And so what they're doing
what
now...
What was that population estimate, though?
What was the population estimate of China? Something like 25 billion or something crazy. So it's... I'm just saying that they're buying up land. It's the exact same thing that the British did to the Irish. I mean, they were exporting potatoes out of Ireland while the Irish were starving to death. From the potato famine of 1845, and I don't think it's the challenge is that we're beyond the tipping point here. I mean, you thought that there might be a way to save us, and there might be a way to kind of tamp things down, even if the good guys take over the Congress and the Senate, and there is this massive red tsunami that's about ready to happen. I think it's too late because the challenge is that they've already sabotaged the food supply. They've lit on fire or blown up 30 food processing facilities. I mean, it's coming. This summer was predicted
but
by
the interesting thing, Sean, is they got the doomsday vault with all the organic seeds intact for themselves.
Right.
So they're going to be sitting pretty.
Well, why does Farmer Gates want all the farms? He wants them because he's also heavily involved. Obviously, this goes back to what we were talking about Dulce, goes all the way back to, the genetic manipulation of crops. And it's not just Farmer Gates with owning the farmland, but it's also owning the, all the GMO stuff that's infecting the lands of all the small farmers. They've destroyed 30 food processing plants. They're cutting the... They're cutting the energy to be able and the diesel to be able to transport the food from place to place. At the same time, they're, if you control the food, as Henry Kissinger said, you control the world, and that's exactly what they've been doing. And the land of plenty in the United States. Look, we're 3 meals a day from a major revolution, and if you think people behave badly on Black Friday to get a TV, wait, what happens when they're going to riot over food, and when you have this snowflake woke bunch of people who aren't going to be able to eat now. That's what they're prepping us for. And again, the Madame Blavatsky prediction is that when the Death Star is what she said, she's in the first quarter of the 20th century, a star was going to appear in the sky in the constellation of Cygnus or the constellation of the Swan. Now, the NASA told us that this boom star, which is these two supernovas that then collided all the way back in 1638, that the light of this was on its way towards Earth and that it was supposed to appear on June 1st. Now, this was NASA talking, and I quoted a lot of this, and of course it hasn't happened yet. So I took a bunch
I was waiting for that to happen.
I was too.
I asked someone else about that.
I called the NASA people and said, what happened? And they're like, well, it's just, we miscalculated the distance and because Sean Stone called me and said, hey, man, where's your Death Star? And I was like, I called NASA, and they said, it's coming. It's just later than we think. And this was when Madame Blavatsky said, with the appearance of this boom star, or the Death Star, as she called it, would be the beginning of the mass culling. She used the word culling specifically of men and animals. Now look what's happening. Now you've got grain being cut off from Ukraine, which primarily goes to Africa. The population of Africa has been a target of Gates for a long time. He introduced the whole AIDS vaccine thing. Everywhere he's gone with polio vaccines or whatever else, they've been contaminated. He killed 475,000 people in India, and the Indians rose up and burned the clinic down. He did the same thing with
polio vaccine?
Whatever it was, it killed, like I said, 475,000 people in India, and then killed they introduced the
in Africa.
AIDS virus. Almost 250 million people died of what they claim was AIDS, but was spread in a polio vaccine. Once again, not only was Gates behind it, but a lot of the tribes, like Zulu, rose up, killed the doctors, burned the clinics down. It was aborting fetuses. It was making men impotent, women infertile, and the whole goal is to destroy the population of Africa. The reason here's the big picture again. This is if you read Klaus Schwab's Reset, and it's in there. This is not me talking. This is Klaus Schwab saying this, that their goal is to take the populations of Japan and China, mix them up because they're easy to control, they're easy to enslave, because they've had totalitarian governments and obedience beaten into them, and you mix them with the population, you mix them with the populations of Europe. Should we call 911? Because somebody sounds like they're having a heart attack. You okay?
Is that you, Wendy?
Yeah.
No, somebody's working up a lung out there somewhere. Are you all right?
That's not me. I'm good.
Okay. All right. I guess he's dead.
We'll continue.
He wants to mix the Eurasian population, the European populations, with the populations of China and Japan, because Klaus Schwab says that that's the perfect slave. And then the climate's not going to get hotter; it's going to get colder. And as it gets colder, you're going to have to move these slave populations down into the equatorial regions of South America and Africa. That's in his Global Reset book. And then you tag everybody with the vaccine. And again, they're talking about how the global cell phone networks are going to be internal, because they're going to put a chip in your head at some point. Their goal is to do all this by 2030.
By 2030, you mean, don't you?
I'm sorry. By 2030. I'm sorry. Yeah, by 2030.
All right.
There's going to be another aspect of this, too, because you're going to see right now we're in a pyramid. We're in a period that the Great Pyramid calls the Exodus generation. So that there would be a 40-year period between February 21st of 1999 and October 31st of 2039. Where you would have this mass culling of the population. You'd have the population was going to explode, and then it was going to go away, where you'd have this, huge culling of the population. And then after 2039, 2040, people were going to start coming back to this plane of existence again. So when you try to project people into the future to experience, I guess, what you would call post-life progression, there's nobody there. There's nowhere to incarnate. Matter of fact, this was Chet Snow did a book called Mass Dreams of the Future, and he was finding the same thing that I was finding, that when you try to project people forward, there's no bodies for them to be born into between 2025 and about, again, 2040. So, which is also something predicted by the pyramid. But all the timelines have been skewed because Nostradamus is wrong, Lord Michael Scallion is wrong, Edgar Casey is wrong. Everybody's now been wrong except Blavatsky, with this one final prophecy that she gave about the culling of men and animals after this Death Star appears in Cygnus, which is on its way. So
Billy Carson about that's the Death Star, and I said, is it going to appear? And he seems to think it's not going to.
Okay, well, we'll see. NASA says different, but
okay. The other thing is Bill Deagle. Bill Deagle saying that we're already halfway through the tribulation in the Bible. What's your take on that?
You can't – when you study the book of Revelation – and for anyway, I know I'm going to go against a lot of Christians and all that, but the book of Revelation makes no sense, and there's no timeline, and there's no – there's stuff that happens here that people quote, and then there's stuff that happens – the other place. And the big challenge with this is that if you go into the timeline of Daniel, Daniel has a set period of time of 2,300 days. And the 2,300 days, if you go all the way back to the formation of the temple, which was 546 BC, I think, when they laid the corner of the temple or whatever, all the Daniel the tribulation and everything else, according to Daniel, ends in the year 1844. So, I mean, you can do the math. It's, you know, and 1844, once again, if you correlate that with the Great Pyramid, 1844 is the bottom of the Great Step. And the Great Step then goes straight up from 1844 to approximately 1900. There was a huge religious movement that was based on it, which is now called the Seventh-day Adventists. And amongst the Seventh-day Adventists, you had a prophet named Miller. And they were actually called the Millerites, because the Millerites sold everything they had. They dressed in white. They went out on the hillsides. And, of course, Jesus didn't come. And then Miller said, oh, no, it's not 1844. It's 1845. It's going to happen in March. And they wandered around and froze to death and still didn't come. And this is literally what drove this religious movement, and everybody losing everything they had is what drove the 49ers to actually then come to California. It drove the whole mass exodus west to California. So there's an argument to be made that the tribulation as we know it has already happened. Or if you're looking at the four horsemen of the apocalypse, the first one being you're looking at war and then pestilence, disease, and what have you. You could say that the entire 20th century was that, because the 20th century begins with this massive war. Actually, the black horseman carrying the scales is a financial system. And so you can say that the first horse of the apocalypse was the formation of the Federal Reserve in 1913. And with the formation of the Federal Reserve and with them being able to take over America, that's how they were able to then float the currency and then finance the wars. So you have the black rider, who's an economic system. You then have war, which is the red horse. Then you have the pale horse, which is pestilence, which was the Spanish influenza, which killed 100 million people. And then the very last horseman was the last horseman after that was, let me see, more pestilence. But you could say the 20th century was the tribulation, was through and through. But it's just weird because Revelations ends with the entire planet being devoid of water, looking very much like Mars. And then you have a ginormous spaceship that lands, that the base of the spaceship is the distance between Los Angeles and Oklahoma, because it's 1,400 feet at the base. And it's being powered by 144,000 virgins who have not been defiled by woman, which I suppose cuts me out as one of the pilots. My wife says you're welcome.
What about the part in Revelation that talks about a cashless society, which we were very close to?
Because again, it talks about the mark of the beast, and you know that that man would not be able to buy or sell without that. But that was also instituted under Nero. Nero took all the Jews he didn't crucify on the road to Jerusalem, and he put a mark on their hand and their forehead, which was Nero Rex Imperium, which, by the way, was not 666, it was 616. So, and that's also a mistranslation of the Revelation of John, because it's a piece that has a hole in the manuscript. But it's not 666, it was 616. So, but that was already instituted in under Nero and whatever else, their cashless society. It's also weird, too, because if you think about it, the slaves that were... slaves that were indentured had a collar, and the collar had a piece of metal on it, which was literally like a master card, because your master put this tag around your neck, and you'd go in to buy goods for the household, and they would take this thing out, and they would do a rubbing of it in order to use that, and it allowed you as a visa, as a slave of a house, to be able to travel around. So it's just interesting that they got all this stuff. It was originally called the Tessera system. And the stuff they're putting in soldiers now is called the MARC, which stands for Multiple Automated Readout Computer Chip. And that then goes into a Tessera system. And the Tessera system goes into something called the Beast. And the Beast computer, it's a quantum computer at Area 51, stands for Battle Engagement Arena Simulation and Tracking. So a general can sit down and actually, he has two computer interfaces on his forehead, which look like horns, and he can then interact with the computer. So, you know, it's, you know, he shall speak as a lamb, but with the sound of a dragon, which means that he can talk into a microphone and he can be heard all over the world. And he's literally interacting with the beast computer through the marks, which are then will tell you, okay, you got this many men here, you have so many tanks, you've got so many guns or whatever, and he can conduct an entire, you know, world war from underground through one of these beast computers. But that's all, it's all war stuff that they're all. And of course, you have a chip either in your butt, like Timothy McVeigh Clady had, or they put it in your neck, right next to the jugular or the carotid artery, because if they need to wipe you out, they just press that button and chemicals explode and they, you know, flood your head with blood. That was actually, those chips were actually featured in the first Mission Impossible movie, where Tom Cruise is trying to rescue his girlfriend, and they're trying to get the chip out of her nose, and it explodes in her head. So
yeah, it was actually in a movie from the 70s or something too, where a guy was asked to be recruited to this certain propaganda agency, and he said, I won't do it. They said, well, it's too bad. They go, if you don't do it, there's a little thing, a little chip in you that's set to explode if you don't comply.
Yeah, it's all, you know, it's all there. It's where everything they're going to do, they show you in the movies first, because, you know, screenwriters are always on the edge of it, because they're trying to write movies and come up with, you know, cool stuff to work on.
Yeah, we ran a clip from the X-Files that described everything we're going through right now. Everything. Chemtrails, the release of a virus, the vaccine killing people, you know, and it was all on one X-File show, and they went through every program in one show. It was like weird, and the guy goes, yeah, and we're terraforming the atmosphere with chemtrail, geoengineering, you know, we're going to kill people with the vaccine, and they think it's going to save them. And he went through the whole thing that we're going through right now.
Yeah, and that was right before the COVID thing, right, when they showed all that. When that clip came out.
It was in the six-part X-Files, like part two.
Yeah, but it was before COVID and all that nonsense.
It was crazy. But the main thing, you know what? Is all these people that are running these programs, whether it's Bilderbergs, the World Economic Forum, whether it's Bohemian Grove or whatever, these guys aren't stopping, and they got their AI going 24/7. So what are the people you're networking with in private? What are their strategies, some of their strategies?
Okay, we only got about a minute left, so.
Go ahead, guys.
No, they're on track. I mean, that's why I've had these big arguments with these people who keep telling me that the white hats and the Chinese White Dragon Society and all that. Well, where are they? You know, the Wayne Williots and the Wano Sabins. And I'm like, what they are is they're a Stalinistic, trust operation, where they're trying to draw out all the patriots and all the people that would be opposition, giving them all this false hope. And I noticed that, you know, right on cue, literally, that Q has returned with all that mind control nonsense of, you know, whatever else. But again, you know, what I'm looking at is that the bad guys are winning on almost every front, and they've got us all on the run. And the people that could have stood up and done something about the election fraud and about and getting ready for what we need to do, you know, in the next elections. But then again, you know, my grandma used to say is that, you know, Shawnee boy, if you think elections changed anything, they would have made them illegal a long time ago. So there you go.
Right. All right.
That's
true.
Very
smart,
Sean.
Thank you, Sean. I know you're going to be on right after us. Listen to Sean Darren Morton Monday through Friday.
Happy Canada Day, everybody. Happy Canada Day.
Thank you. You're the best, Sean. Stay on the line, guys. Hold on.
I can't
see. See you Tuesday.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is advanced ancient global civilizations. Join me on the Brian Roux Show Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Going back in?
Still men out there. God damn. When I go home, people ask me, hey, Hoot, why do you do it, man? Why? Some kind of war junkie? I won't say a goddamn word. Why? They won't understand. They won't understand why we do it. They won't understand it's about the men next to you. And that's it. That's all it is.
Revolution Radio. Freedomslips.com. Number one listener-supported radio. The printing press for freedom at a time.